From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is A Time of Hope.
The prophet asks, "Can our soul-weary bones live again?"
Oh God, you know.
We ask, "Can we dance again after mourning, loss, and grief?"
Oh God, you know.
The gift is sure and unmistakable.
God's breath poured out as new life for weary souls.
Let us celebrate the gift of God's new life.
And come to worship God in laughter and dancing.
Our anthem is "Come, Holy Spirit, Like the Wind," sung by our senior choir, directed by Stacy Frederick. The gospel lesson and sermon entitled "Tomb of Despair" is by the Reverend Jody Furness Wright.
Our gospel reading this morning is from John, and I'm going to ask again that instead of rising physically, you lift yourself in spirit to God. Verses 1 through 45. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village where Mary and her sister Martha lived. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus. "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place. But was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in her house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. Here ends the reading of the good news. Thanks be to God. My grandson, Arthur, got chutes and ladders for Christmas. Here are the instructions for chutes and ladders that I found online. Chutes and Ladders is a game by Hasbro for children. There are 100 squares on the board, and the child advances the number of spaces that is determined by a spinner numbered 1 through 6. If the child lands at the bottom of a ladder, they immediately climb to the top. If the child lands at the top of a chute, they immediately slide down to the bottom. The game is over when the child lands exactly on square 100. It is not a game Arthur likes to play much. It is not a game Arthur likes. It goes on and on for a very long time. And each time he slides backwards, he gets discouraged. If it happens too often, or if another player gets too far ahead of him, Arthur's discouragement can turn to despair. I'm with Arthur. But how much like life is chutes and ladders? If we're lucky, we have 100 squares. It goes on for a long time. But oh, how our forward movement can be forgotten in the chutes that spiral us backwards. Our losses can mount up and up. Our losses can be of such magnitude that soon life seems hopeless. Life seems lost. Today, my sermon title, if you read in the bulletin, might sound more to you like the title of an Indiana Jones movie than good news. But you may be relieved to know that what it refers to is a set of 8 instructions that I found not online, but in a Bible story in the book of John. They are instructions for those times in life when we might find ourselves at the bottom of the chute and in a place we might think of as a tomb of despair. They are instructions God left for us to help find our way out. Here are those 8 instructions. You can follow along in your Bible if you like. Number 1, when you find yourself in the tomb of despair, send a message to Jesus. Now, you all know how to do this. Mary and Martha sent their message with friends, but generally, we send our messages by way of prayer. by opening our souls and our hearts and telling Jesus that we are in the tomb of despair and we need him now. But be aware, just like in the story in the Bible, Jesus might not respond right away. We do not know his reasons. He might tell them to someone else, but he hasn't told them to us. But what we do know is that Jesus does hear us when we send a message. We know that Jesus does love us, just as it says he loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And we do know that eventually Jesus will come. Instruction number 2. When Jesus is coming toward you, you have 2 options. Number 1, you may run out to meet him, like Martha did. Or number 2, you may wait patiently for him to come to you, like Mary did. Now you might wonder, what should I do? Should I run out to where I think Jesus is, or should I wait patiently here where I am? Well, the Bible says either of those options is perfectly acceptable. You need to do what is right for you. When you hear that Jesus is coming, run out to him if you are ready. Sit and wait patiently for him if you will. Number 3. Trust in the promises that have been made to you, but even more, trust in Jesus. We know, like Martha did, that there are promises that have been made for the last days, for the end of time, promises that we will all be gathered and that there will be days of rejoicing and no more tears. Trust that promise. We know there are promises made after we die. Promises that God will not desert us, even in death. Trust in that promise. But even more, trust like Martha in who Jesus is. For in the Gospel of John, it is Martha, rather than Peter, who makes the first confession that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the one coming into the world, God with us. So even more than trusting in the promises of the last day or in the promises of after we die, trust in who Jesus is and who he has come to be for us today, God with us, that we can count on his presence and his help right now. Instruction 4. Be like Mary. When Jesus calls, come quickly. Now, the interesting thing here is that Mary didn't hear Jesus call her. She heard from another. Martha told her, Jesus is calling for you. So, you may hear Jesus calling for you from somebody else. Somebody may tell you. Jesus is calling for you. When you hear Jesus is calling for you, either from another or yourself, get up and run quickly. Go. But be aware where you have to go. For the instructions tell us Jesus had not come to the house. Jesus had not even come into the village. Jesus was still where Martha had met him. So be prepared, you may have to go meet Jesus outside your village, outside your church, outside your comfort zone. And yet we know, when we are told Jesus is calling for us, we must get up and go quickly. Instruction number 5, and you heard this instruction during the children's moment. Know that Jesus feels your pain. Know that Jesus sees when you are weeping, and that Jesus doesn't just see you weeping, but that Jesus is disturbed and moved by your weeping. And that Jesus is not just disturbed and moved by your weeping, but that Jesus weeps with you. Why? Because as they saw at the tomb, Jesus loves you so much. Instruction number 6. Do not be afraid to voice your doubts to Jesus. Martha was good at not just voicing her faith and trust in Jesus, but also in voicing her doubts. Jesus, what do you think you are doing? Death stinks. And Martha was right. Death stinks. Pain hurts. Despair traps. Hate ruins. Martha is not afraid to voice her doubts because Martha knows something we would do well to know as well. Jesus already knows that you don't know what God is doing. Jesus already knows that you don't know what God is doing. So Jesus can handle your questions. Jesus can handle your doubts. And Jesus wants you to be real with him. Jesus doesn't want to see your Sunday morning mask of righteousness and goodness. Jesus wants to see you as you really are. Look at how full Jesus and Martha's relationship was of Martha being real. Martha being angry. Martha being doubtful. Martha being faithful. Jesus wants us to be real like Martha. Instruction number 7. And it may seem like an obvious instruction to you. Number 7. When Jesus calls you out of the tomb of despair, it's time to come out. Well, you say, that's obvious. Of course it is. But there's something about our despair and our hopelessness that is addicting for us. We kind of want to stay in that pity party. We kind of want to stay in that place of death. Better the evil we know than that new frightening life out there. But when Jesus calls us out of our despair, it is time to come out, to trust that we will see God's glory to trust that the light of God's glory can overcome any depth of our dark night of the soul, to trust that Jesus came to shine the light of that glory into our lives, and that our dead bones can live again. And finally, for someone else, number 8, when Jesus says to unbind those who are raised, it is our job to help set them free. So many of us and others are bound by despair, like Lazarus was bound hand and foot. And it's hard to move if there's not somebody there to help unbind you. So much pain is hidden behind the death cloths we use to cover our faces and hide our true selves. And we need help from others and grace to remove those cloths and let us show ourselves for who we truly are. We, the church, are called to declare God's presence even in the midst of despair. We are the ones who are called to make a grace space in the desert where people can be real, who they truly are. We, the church, are called to declare life abundant in the light of God's love and in the company of Christ's followers. Let us be the ones who unbind the dead and set them free. Will you pray with me? Jesus, we call out to you this day. We come running to find you, or we wait patiently for you to come to us. For yes, Lord, we believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. So call to us and we will come to you. You who have laughed and cried and bled and died with us. You who are God with us, even in the midst of doubt. Free us from the tombs of our despair and help us unbind one another that we might be alive and real in you. We pray in your holy name. Amen.
Glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.